kind of nice that we can all bring our Bibles tonight and carry them in and open them up very easily and read them. And I'll ask you to open your Bible tonight to a passage in the book of Acts, chapter 8, if you'd like to open it up there. It wasn't always that easy. The Christians in the first century didn't come to church with their Bibles in their hands, I doubt. They weren't quite as easy to get a hold of. Most people had these things called scrolls. Sometimes they were pieces that written on different kind of material, a papyri, if you've heard of that, a reed that grew along the marshes they used to make to write on. And other people carried animal skins that had things written on. I've never owned a scroll before, but now I have one. I was given a scroll the other week, my first, and just got it before I came up to preach last weekend. And on that scroll, I found a sequence of pictures that told me a Bible story. And it's in Acts chapter 8, if you want to turn in your Bible there. You'll be able to see these pictures just a little bit more clearly tonight as we study our lesson and learn about the story that was told in that chapter. I don't know if this will stand up or not. So, we're going to do that. The person who gave it to me whispered to her mother, "Now Daddy can do a good lesson." So it's interesting, these stories that are in the Bible, they teach us lessons that nearly anybody can understand. The teacher obviously did a good job who presented this the other week. And I thought tonight that we'd just see what we could learn, especially the young people who probably were in that class, and you probably have your own scrolls tonight. The rest of you don't, but I do, and they have them. So we'll see what we can learn. And the first thing, we're going to look in Acts chapter 8, where the story was told in verse 25. And our story begins with a man named Philip, who was preaching in Samaria. And it says that while he was preaching, an angel came to him. And it says, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And this man had been in this city, Samaria, for quite a while. He'd been preaching. He had a lot of success. Taught a lot of people. A lot of people were being baptized. And this angel tells him, you need to leave all of these people that you've converted and you need to go south. And I even did a map for you here so you could look. You can even notice that that's not quite as big as I wanted it. You can see Samaria up here. That's where Philip was. And he's got to come down here to Gaza or somewhere along a road down this way. And you see Jerusalem right here. And there's a road that went to Gaza. And somewhere along that road, Philip is going to meet a fellow. And there's a guy traveling here. Let's look again at our verse 27. He started out on his way and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. And this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was going home, and he was sitting in his chariot and he was reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. So here this guy is, and he's come all the way from Ethiopia. I didn't have a map big enough to put Ethiopia on it, but that's some 400 miles south of Jerusalem, south and probably west of Jerusalem. And so he's traveling back 400 miles, and he's already been there to worship, and he's going home, and he's reading his Bible. He needs somebody to help him understand. He's reading, and he needs somebody to help him understand it. And what's impressive to me in this story, the first thing is that God sees this man. He sees him on this road. And he calls Philip, who's way up there in Samaria, and he's very busy, got a lot going there, and he sends him down to this road to meet this man. You know, Philip could have been very unhappy about that. I mean, he was up there, and he's a new preacher, and he's just having a wonderful, successful gospel meeting. He has all these people he's baptized, all these new studies. I mean, here's a great chance for him to really be an up-and-coming fella and really just really have a lot of interesting studies, lots of success, and it's an important work here. And God calls him, and he says, you need to get out, you need to leave. I got something else for you, dude. And I thought about that, and I thought there's some good lessons for us to learn. And the lesson, I think, is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I'll just put that up here for you so you can see it. And the lesson is that God was looking for a person who was looking for Him. He says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His." He's searching for people who want to know Him. He's kind of like that shepherd who leaves the 99 who are saved and goes to get the one who's lost, right? And so God knows those who truly are seeking Him, and He is able to make a way for that person to hear the gospel. And that's what He does. He facilitates that. He finds Philip and He says, "I got a job for you. Go down there and meet this guy. He's in a chariot and I want him to talk." And, you know, some people will tell you, they'll say, yeah, some people will know what they need to do. They come to church every week and they have a Bible. And they hear preaching every week and they know what they need to do and they don't obey God. They don't obey it. And then when you say, you know, you know what the Bible says, you know what you need to do to obey, why don't you do that? And he says, "Well, you know, God, you know how many people are out there who probably never get to hear the gospel? I mean, all those people, those natives who live on islands and stuff, and they the gospel never reaches them. They're just these savages out there, and they'll never hear the gospel. I mean, do you think God's gonna condemn these people just because they're not baptized?" And you know what I always say? Well, I don't know what God's going to do about them, but why don't you do what you know you need to do? And how do you know He's not going to tell them? How do you know He hasn't got the gospel to those people? He did to this unit. I mean, He doesn't give us an account. He's not obligated to give me a ledger that tells me how He's going to get the gospel to all those people. It's not His obligation to me. But He seemed to manage to do that in the first century. How do you know He's not going to give those people opportunity? But you know what you need to do. Why don't you do what you ought to do? You know? And so here's this guy, and God made it possible for this Ethiopian to hear the gospel. And what I want to say to you is, if you know somebody that you love or a friend and you want that person to hear about the Lord Jesus, then you need to pray about that. And it's just possible that God will facilitate that and find a way to get the gospel to him. Or maybe He wants you to do it. Maybe you are His person that He's put in that position to encounter that person at that place in his life so that he can know. And so maybe you're Philip, and you just happen to be in the place that God wants you for that particular person who needs to hear the gospel. This lesson teaches us that God knows and He cares about people, and He is able to provide a way for them to hear the truth if they really want to know Him. Well, so this eunuch here, this fellow's riding down the road, and he's reading his Bible. Verse 27 and 28, he started out on his way. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. And this man's gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he's sitting in his chariot, and he's reading a book of Isaiah the prophet. And here's this guy, and he's going down the road in his chariot. He lives way down in Ethiopia, 400 miles away. He's going home. He's come a long way to worship God. And he's leaving, he's going back home, and he's still studying the Bible. Isn't that an interesting thing? I know that seems simple, but yeah, you know, that's the kind of person God wants to help. It's a person who really wants to know. And do you come a long way to church? There's some people here who come a long way to get here. Probably an hour. Some people drive 40 miles. Some people drive 50 miles to get here. That's a long way. You ever complain about that? You ever complain on the way and say, you know, this is really hard. I really hate having to drive this way. How much further do we have to go? You know, and why do we have to go three times a week? You know, it's really hard to do that. Are we almost home yet? We gripe and complain about that. And this guy drove 400 miles to worship the Lord. And was he complaining? You know, what was he doing? What was he doing on his way home? He was reading his Bible. Not complaining, he was still studying. He can't seem to get enough. And it wasn't very easy for him to do that, probably, when he was riding in that
that day. He was here's what you see his chariot there. That's a very official picture of what a Ethiopian chariot looked like in the first century. I want you to know that. But just in case that one's not, I'm sure these are also more accurate depictions of these chariots. And he's in a chariot. So you think about how complicated that would be to study and to read while you're riding down the road in one of these vehicles. And even more, that he was reading what I said was a scroll. So here is something along the lines of what he would have been reading. This is a scroll of Isaiah. Isaiah 53, that would have been the exact chapter he was reading out of. And that's kind of fuzzy. Can't really see the words well, so I'll magnify it. Now it's a lot more clearer that you can see that. And that's probably somewhat along the lines of what he had to read. And if you can imagine riding in a chariot down the road, and it probably didn't have very good shocks on that thing, and it'd be kind of hard to focus. If some of you get car sick trying to read, then imagine what this guy was going through when he was trying to read. And these words, they had no spaces between them, and they had no periods and capital letters and small letters and no nice convenient chapter breaks and verses, and he's studying. And I don't know, simple thing, just as a goal. We need to make a point not to complain, complain anymore. Take notes during your lesson, we do, and think about what you've learned in Bible class, and on your way home from church, talk about it with your parents, study about it, discuss points of interest, points that you disagree with. Think about what you've learned, and because that's the kind of person that God's looking for. He's looking for a person who's trying to search for the truth. And simple point, that's what he's doing. He's really searching. He wants to know what the Bible's teaching there. And so Philip is standing by the road in verse 28, and this guy comes by, and the Spirit says to him in verse 29 there, he says, go up and join that chariot. So verse 30 says, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he asked him a question. But you know, you think about him running up to this chariot to ask this man a question. I don't know. Maybe that guy had guards around that chariot. Do you know what he says? Remember who this guy was. Did you see his position in this passage? It says here in verse 27, he's an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. That means that man was very important. Probably a very, very studious person. Now we all know who this man is. Have you ever recognized him before? The United States Treasury Secretary. If you had given me a test before this lesson, I couldn't have told you that if my life depended on it. But he is a very important man. And he would have been somewhat along the lines of the man who we have seen and that was riding along that chariot that day. He was taking care of all the money of this queen, operating in her treasury, caring for her treasury, and he would have been a very important man. And can you imagine him riding, this guy riding in a chariot, studying his Bible? And probably it would be, today he'd have had a lot easier, he'd be in an air-conditioned chariot, and or probably more an air-conditioned plane, making a trip. And I just wonder if he would have welcomed this man named Philip, who comes up and is hollering at him to stop his chariot so he can talk to him. I mean, most of us would have probably put the pedal to the metal. We'd take it off. Who would have stopped for this fellow? And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? He comes up to him and he asks him, do you know what you're reading in that chariot? And the man doesn't drive away and said, get away from me, strange person you. He says in verse 30 and 31, he says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And so he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. This fellow's a humble fellow. He really wants to understand God's word. And so he asked for help. We start early on here learning things for ourselves. We really like to be independent and do it for ourselves. I like Andrea Trudeau was telling me the other morning that Rebecca said, now her favorite thing to say is, I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself. Anytime she tries to help her, I'll do it myself. And we don't like to ask for help. And as we get older, we get worse about that sometimes. But we need to ask questions when we don't understand things. We need to ask for help when we need to understand what the Bible says. And here this man says, how can I understand unless somebody helps me? And really he asked a very good question. He reads this passage. Let's read what he was reading. He records for us verse 32 through 33. He tells us what this man was reading. Since he was reading this passage of Scripture, it says, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. So he asks in verse 34, the eunuch says to Philip, he says, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or of someone else? He says, who is this guy talking about? And he doesn't know. And that was a great question, because nobody among the Jews really knew. They would argue about that. Some people thought it was Isaiah the prophet who wrote it, and other people thought it was the nation of Israel, and then some thought it was some kind of, who was depicted as the servant of God, and some thought it was some other mysterious person, but nobody knew who it was. And so this guy's asking a very profound, deep question. Maybe he bought that scroll while he was there, because he heard him arguing about it, and that way he could continue to research that on the way home. And so, these are not dumb questions. You ask questions if you have questions about that one. Probably not dumb questions. Probably other questions that other people have that they just aren't courageous enough to ask. So you need to ask those questions. And Philip begins to explain to him in verse 35. He says, Philip began with that very passage of Scripture, and he told him the good news about Jesus. You see, this Bible verse that this man was reading was explaining that one day God would send his servant here, and that he would be an innocent man, but he would be killed like a sheep. He'd be slaughtered for the sins of other people. And it didn't say what that servant's name was. And so this man wants to know. And Philip says it was Jesus. I don't know, it's always hard to get us to really appreciate what it meant when God sent his son here to die for us. We try to come up with illustrations and things that will help us to understand that, but you know, whatever we create, it always falls far short of the real story. But I'm going to try it again. And I'm going to give you a story that may in some way help reflect the idea of what happened. And the story goes, after the song, the preacher walked over to the pulpit and he gave a brief introduction of his childhood friend. And a battered elderly man stepped up to the pulpit to speak. A father, he said, a son and a friend of his son were sailing off the Pacific coast, he began, when a fast approaching storm blocked any attempt to get back to shore. And the waves were so high that even though the father was an experienced sailor, he could not keep the boat upright, and the three were swept into the ocean. The old man hesitated for a moment, making eye contact with two teenagers who were, for the first time since the service began, looking somewhat interested in his story. He continued, grabbing a rescue line, the father had to make the most excruciating decision of his life. To which boy he would throw the other end of the line. He only had seconds to make the decision. The father knew that his son was a Christian, and he also knew that his son's friend was not. The agony of his decision could not be matched by the torrents of the waves. As the father yelled out, "I love you, son," he threw the line to his son's friend. By the time he pulled his friend back to the capsized boat, his son had disappeared beyond the raging swells of the black of night. His body was never recovered. By this time, the two teenagers were sitting straighter in the pew, waiting for the next words to come out of the old man's mouth. The father knew his son would step into eternity with Jesus, and he couldn't bear the thought of his son's friend stepping into an eternity without Jesus. And therefore he sacrificed his son. How great is the love of God that he should do the same for us. With that, the old man turned and sat back down in his chair while silence filled the room. Within minutes after the service ended, the two teenagers were at the old man's side. "That was a nice story," politely stated one of the boys, "but I don't think it was very realistic for the father to give up his son's life in hope that the other boy would become a Christian." "Well, you've got a point there," the old man replied, looking down at his worn Bible. A big smile broadened his face as he once looked up again at the boys and said, "It sure isn't very realistic, is it? But I'm standing here today to tell you that that story gives me a glimpse of what it must have been like for God to give up his son for me. You see, I was the son's friend." You know, we're the son's friend. Jesus took our whipping. And Philip began to explain when he told that man about what happened to Jesus and how that passage reflected the sacrifice of the Lord. He was telling him the same story that we need to hear today. And what that man, that Ethiopian, what did he do when he heard the words about Jesus? Verse 36 says, "As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing." He was a happy man, wasn't he? A lot of people try to be happy in this world using a lot of different things. Getting a real high-paying job, or buying the biggest house possible, or buying the best cars possible. And these things can make you happy for a little while, for a few minutes, maybe even a couple of years, but it won't last for long. And then you have to get another thing to make you happy a little bit longer. But becoming a Christian gives you a joy in your heart that is different than what things in this world can offer. It says, "God loved me, and he wanted me to be his child. And he found me, and he sent someone to tell me about Jesus. And now I've obeyed him, and he's happy with me, and I'm happy. And I can tell other people about him so they can be happy as well." You know, I've read some documents that indicate traditions that there was a group of Christians in Ethiopia sometime in the latter part of the first century. I wonder how they got there. You know, do you think it could be that this man went back and told others about Jesus? What's your story tonight? What's your story? Robert Allen asks that question all the time. He'll walk up to you and shake your hand and say, "What's your story? What's your story?" And so what story will you tell when you heard about Jesus? Will it be like this Ethiopian who went back home to Ethiopia? Will you tell someone how God made it possible for you to hear the story of his son and how you obeyed him? Would you begin your story tonight? Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you haven't got a story yet. Maybe your story is, "I've heard, but I haven't responded. I'm just waiting." But what about beginning your story tonight? God has provided this opportunity. Somehow in his providence, he's made it possible for you to hear lessons about what you need to do to be saved, and maybe this is your opportunity. And so tonight, it's just we offer you that chance to obey Jesus, to become a Christian, and to go home joyful like the eunuch did that night so many years ago. If you want to respond to this invitation, then you can do that today by being baptized as we stand and as we sing.